I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids. You know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Volume.
One of the coolest things in football is when the people who are really, really good at it, especially of the non-fantasy variety, get recognized and get paid. And I remember back in November of 2020 how psyched I was when David Bakhtiari got a massive deal in recognition of just years of being really, really good. And then I remember sending a text. It was all good. And then a few weeks later, a very unhappy New Year's Eve day, he suffered an ACL injury. And it has taken a long time for this guy to get back. I feel like he finally is back to being a dominator. So naturally, people are talking about his cap number. Welcome to the NFL. David, how are you, man?
Good. Thank you for having me on, buddy.
I mean, that pretty much summarizes it, right? You must be back because already, wow, he costs a lot.
Yeah, man. Very true.
All right. We'll get into that. We'll get into me almost ruining your wedding and some other things.
Yeah, I was going to say, hopefully we bring that up.
I'm not getting off the hook on that one. But most important of all, while I have you, this is a big, big topic that I know everybody is really hinging on. How is phase one of OTAs going for you in Green Bay?
Daddy daycare is going well. Just like the other 10 times I've done it, not too much variance. I will say through my, I guess now 11 years, I can say, seeing the progression from working, you know, we used to work harder and just kind of beat us up and we kind of just were doing things to do them, to now having reasoning and rationale behind certain, you know, training perspectives and not just trying to, you know, have so much competition all the time, so much running where you're just kind of beating the bodies up. I've loved seeing that progression throughout my years. But other than that, I mean, it's good to get back. Good to see some fun, friendly faces at the facility. You know, throw some of my jabs in. I always like mess around with a bunch of my teammates and it just hits better when you're in person. So trying to find the positive things in that perspective of being in person. But overall, I mean, like I said, phase one of Daddy Daycare is going well.
Well, so this survey has come out, NFLPA initiated survey about facilities and all things. And I loved it. And I want to ask, because I was on someone else's podcast recently. He's a former Chargers team doctor, and he was kind of like, you know, it's like Yelp. And I go, yeah, it's like Yelp if only restaurant employees were allowed to respond. But I think it's got to, you know, people are going to have to up their game. So my first question is, are the trainers or other people at the facility like a little bit more mindful right now of interpersonal interactions in the wake of this survey?
I would definitely say like subconsciously for sure. I like to think, you know, Green Bay got a very fair grade across the board, and I would definitely expect them to be on, you know, top 10 or I think like just outside the top five. I think that's like very reasonable for what it is. For the most part, most things are pretty good over there with us. And, I loved the thing I loved about it. One, JC, you know, we got drafted together and he was made to be the PA president. I'm so happy he kind of extended and accepted that role, and he's got amazing ideas. And I think this was one of the bright spots because it can really highlight and show across the league. You know, I think a lot of, if I had to guess, I haven't been in any other franchise except the Packers, but there's a lot of things I think that get swept underneath the rug and people kind of get lost in certain places. So I think it's awesome to see places kind of get the grades in especially for free agency. Guys can know, I mean, they used to say Raiders used to be where careers go to die. Now you look across the board and they're raving reviews from their facilities and the guys love it there from their quality of life and travel and nutrition, where I used to remember hearing from like Donald Penn, they used to have a guy roll up and kick on a propane tank and cook like omelets on a two burner. And that was like their breakfast station. I was like, wow, it's remarkable just to see certain those places. I actually was so surprised about the Vikings. I mean, I would assume most of the places that do brand new facilities, they're probably going to get really good reviews, but I had no idea that it was going to get graded that well. And that's awesome to hear just from a player's perspective from the NFLPA. Now, you know, obviously there are rivals in the NFC North. So for us, I'm like, well, you know, I want to make sure like, what do the Packers need to do? Like, what do we need to do to be better? Because obviously I want to be the best in our division, but yeah, overall long winded way of saying, I think a lot of people kind of have been put on notice and understand that any little interaction they have now can be graded. And I think it's only going to be another data point moving forward that's going to push the quality of our profession and what we have to go through on a daily basis further, which I think is great on all boards.
I think back to when I was at Sports Illustrated in the 90s and my good friend Kyle Turley told me about the rant he went on at Saints training camp in Thibodaux, Louisiana, about how bad he thought the food was. And I don't know if you've ever met Kyle, but he's not very subtle in his, descriptions. And it sounded like one of the all-time rants. I loved it. We're hoping that people are more on their game because it is a free agency recruiting tool, yeah. Negative and positive, I would believe.
Well, also just from a daily like life for the player, I would assume, you know, looking across the league, owners, GMs, they're only getting fed what the head of their departments are going to feed them. So most of them is going to say all is good. We're the best in the league. Kind of curate your certain numbers, whether it's real or curated to benefit them. Cause at the end of the day, there is a human element of protecting your own ass. So now to see, well, here's another perspective from the people receiving the care and or the use of your department, and this is how they view it. And I was just I'd heard rumors about, I think it was like Baltimore, the Ravens strength coach. I'd heard rumors about that. I've heard rumors about the Commanders, and I think it's awesome now to validate said rumors, and it puts them on notice, which is awesome, because before it, you know, it sounds like, oh, we're just complaining. And then it's, you know, it always comes back to, which is funny, the masses always being like, you know, the players always complain, they want more. It's like, well, again, you have to judge apples to apples, not apples to oranges. So across the board from us players, how are we being treated? You know, hearing that when the Patriots went on their crazy run and they got like their own two custom planes, hearing they have like shake stations on it and like other modalities in which they can like fully recline. And I remember sitting in a coach seat being like, man, that would be so awesome to have. And then now just kind of, you're just getting more information. And at the end of the day, more information, the better.
You know, I complain what I said in coach. I don't even want to think about being you instead of getting coach. Yeah. But it's a great point because the football culture, I feel like, is kind of like geared toward shut up and do it, you know, because it makes you tougher. And there's like a almost a militaristic, like, follow orders vibe to it when you're young. And then you ascend and then you go to college and play for free, although that is now blessedly changing to some degree. And then you have an artificially deflated rookie deal because not only are you told where you have to play, but now you're not getting close to market value. It's been, you know, negotiated down. And then finally you get paid and you have a choice to some degree, but you know, this is, you're also highly specialized athletes who are preparing to do very, very specific and difficult things that provide entertainment for the masses, etc. So you would think from the perspective of running a business, you would want, you know, both from both, you would want the people to be able to perform well, but also just that vibe that we're not viewing you as a piece of meat. We're viewing you as a vehicle to our flourishing as an organization and league.
And I totally and 100% agree with you as well. But if I take off my player cap and put on my owner cap, from their perspective, it is a business. It is an investment for them. At the end of the day, it's a bottom dollar. So if they take out the human element, which I'm assuming a lot of owners of businesses or CEOs, whatever they do, and look at how do I get my books as good as possible? Where can I cut? Where, like, do, you know, do we really need this? Can I put, you know, two players in a room at a hotel and cut out, you know, 15, 20% of the rooms, so I'm saving rooms? Like, these are all, you know, places in ways that I can only rationalize for the ability and the reason why that the team and or a club is doing it.
Because
at the end of the day, I mean, the NFL is printing money at this point.
Yeah. Like, by the way, the value of the franchise you play for appreciated another $100,000 while we were just talking right there.
Wouldn't doubt that one bit.
And they printed more stock probably. So that's a whole other thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And listen, I worked for the owners for 8 years at NFL Network. I was ultimately a cap casualty. It would be the analogy. And
the game.
Yeah, it happens, you know, but I know, but it is interesting because I came up, I was a young beat writer covering the 49ers. I was really close with Eddie DeBartolo. This is even before the cap. And ultimately, they put in the cap because of him and people like him. But he had a way different attitude. He was hyper generous when he could be. He would literally hand out towels, you know, when players would come through the tunnel after games and at halftime. I think as a gesture of saying, I understand that you are sweating for me. And you grew up in the Bay Area, so I think you kind of know the lore. But I also remember the same franchise when John York and Denise DeBartolo York were now in charge. I believe I reported that a player, spacing on which player it was, signed a deal, had got like maybe a $40,000 signing bonus. And it was before direct deposit, and they mailed them the check, and it was for like $39,979.05 because they took the FedEx fee out of the check.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't like it, but at the end of the day, I respect it. If you want to run the business and that's who you are, great. Like, that's what it is. But on the same end, you have to accept what can come of those said actions based on how you're going to run your business and or team or franchise. And I think that's, you know, when you can take the, you know, emotional side out of it, which I try to do a lot when understand, to be rational, sometimes you have to take your emotions out of it to really see what exactly are they doing, even if it's at the demise of said myself from a player's perspective. So that's where a lot of times for me, I'm like, yeah, I guess this is the only reason it could be, other than now we're acting in the realm of irrationality, which then doesn't bode well either. Cause then it's like, well, then why are you in the position to make these choices if you're not going to be a rational choice maker? So again, it's a cyclical cycle. It could be a vicious cycle. And that's kind of where I've kind of wrapped my mind and come to a sense of like understanding and at peace with, the things that are good that, that me as a player benefit from, and then things that aren't so good that come to me as a player.
Well, you are not shy about, you know, keeping it real. And you recently went on with a couple of former NFL linemen, Taylor and Will, who know a lot, and spoke your mind, talked about your future or, you know, uncertainty surrounding it, talked about Aaron, and caused quite a stir, although, because I want to get to it later, I will support you wholeheartedly on the Ted Lasso being overrated.
I appreciate that. Yes.
And I totally want to get into that. And also why Trent Krim is kind of the devil, but that's an aside. But yeah, you know, so you did say some things. I think you said you called the Packers they, and people freaked out. Has there been any awkwardness since you've been back in the wake of any of that?
Yeah. I think there's been a little bit of awkwardness. I think that really just stems from the lack of understanding and the fact that I have to spell it out. I guess this is the platform to do it. They is the front office. I am not the front office. Like I said before, when I act rationally and I take my emotions out and look from a business standpoint, I'm thinking from a third person point of view. So it's almost annoying the fact that I have to explain that. And that's why I know I have Twitter and my ability to use my voice. But I'm like, by responding to any of this creates credibility and it makes it more real when I'm like, this is just people going off on a tangent, nitpicking said words for what? Like I'm not a type of person that's going to assassinate my sentences so that you can find a cryptic message I'm trying to find. If I felt like I wanted to disassociate, I would flat out say I wasn't going to disassociate. And that's pretty black and white. There's no gray area with me. So again, if I have to spell it even further, they means front office of the Green Bay Packers when I'm trying to talk about said negotiation tactic, because right now there's two points in which people say that there's leverage from. And my own thought was like, well, where are the Packers seeing their leverage? And then I thought to myself, if I'm in the front office, I would assume that this is probably what the hill they're dying on from where they see deemed leverage based on where they've held their cap, how they've been active or inactive in free agency for their position. That is as black and white as I can get. And I'm almost excited to see how people can still pull that apart and make their own reality. And again, if you're going to live in the reality that you want to live in, great. I don't care to change your mind. Now, if you want to listen to what my mind says, fantastic, but don't read into something don't make something fake real. What's real is what's being said. So that's my piece on that.
Some of the pearl clutching that I've seen is, well, you said they're rebuilding. And I'm like, yeah, probably because I think you're rebuilding.
We're moving on from a Hall of Fame quarterback. I literally today talked to Jordan about this. I'm like, the Packers rebuilded from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. What are we going to say? It's not a rebuild? Like, it is exact, like that is what that is. And that's totally fine. I am not saying that we're going to be bad. I'm not saying we're going to be good. I don't know. And that's the beauty. No one really knows how good they are. We start the season. Everyone is batting 1,000. No one has any losses. No one has any wins, and let the season play out however it may be. Now I'm assuming Vegas has their odds and their standards. And I'm assuming they're going to put us pretty low. Great. I remember a Niner team that they've had pretty low and they ended up, like, what did they?
Harbaugh's first year, they almost, yeah, the NFC Championship game overtime, I think.
Not only that year, but I remember, I think it was the year, like, when Richard Sherman was on the team.
Oh, yeah, and they, like, 2019, yeah. Before,
and then they ended up coming out of nowhere, I think, with even, like, Jimmy G. I'm like, again, I have no idea. I'm on the team, and I have no idea. A lot of teams don't know. And all of us are getting the same coach speak every year about, you know, this is a championship team. We're going to be out there. in the Super Bowl. I'm like, you goddamn right. I fucking hope so. But let's, you know, I'll also probably take a breather halfway through the year, kind of see where we are. I'll take another breather and kind of look at, dissociate myself from, and think about taking my emotions out of it and be like, realistically, are we a playoff team or not? Who are we? And like, I'm just trying to look at it from a very honest and real perspective. I'm not going to live in a fake reality. I'm going to see exactly where my team's at. And like, it's funny, like when me and Jordan have like a laugh about it, kind of talking about it, and it's just like where everyone else outside, you know, buildings or people can just, their mind runs rampant. And, you know, it's like, oh, it's the disrespect to Jordan. Oh, he doesn't care about the team. I'm like, when did I ever say I didn't care about Jordan? If I say, again, if I said I don't care about Jordan, I'll say I don't care about Jordan. Right. If I said I don't like the team, I'll say I don't like the team. But I'm under contract. I'm in Green Bay. I'm showing up with like phase one. I'm having a good time. I'm having great laughs. Me and Jordan are having good conversations. We're trying to go golfing next week. We're trying to build rapport and chemistry. Like, that's what you do as a team, to be a teammate. So it's just like, man, it is just hilarious. Like, I that's why part of me, like, I just love sitting back and just kind of watching the chaos. And then you really see who starts squirming. I'm like, that's where I almost kind of sit back. I'm like, huh. I guess that's where you, like, you really stand or how you really think if you're having, you know, if you're really this uncomfortable about it, because no part of me feels uncomfortable at all. It's all kind of real. And I'd be lying to myself if I looked at the moves and things that are happening in our facility.
I heard our.
Yeah, our. In our facility. And I would just, I would be like an ostrich with his head in the sand if I didn't, like, and that's not who I am. I'm going to take all the moves. I'm going to think critically and then come up with like, well, obviously this is what this means. And if it wasn't, then we would be doing different actions. But clearly from what I'm seeing, this is what it's looking like. And I mean, who knows? I again, I'm excited because that's football. At the end of the day, I don't care how good a team is on paper. You're going to have to go out there and play 60 minutes. And then we really see who's the better team.
Well, I've paid special attention to the Packers for most of my journalistic career.
I bet you have.
Yeah. And well, so I covered the Niners when it was Montana and Steve Young. And that was the first time in history that there was a transition from first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback to first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. Yeah. And it was it made Aaron and Brett look like, you know, Barney, the TV show. Like, it was 6 years and it was insane by today's standards. People have no idea. A lot of animosity, a lot of awkwardness, yet they were teammates and those teams thrived. And ultimately, there was a transition. And, you know, the Niners didn't get decades out of it like the Packers did, but it went great ultimately.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I covered Brett all those years and Aaron was drafted. I knew Aaron because of Cal and had a very, very strong conviction that he was going to be a good player. And I was in the distinct minority by the time that drama was playing out and Brett was getting traded. And I was going on record saying he's going to be really, really good. And people were like, whatever. So for once, I was correct. Ultimately, but you know, that first year he lost some close games. It took a while. Yeah,
and again, look at what a first ballot, arguably the best, and in my opinion, like the best player to play quarterback. Like his first year, what do you go, like 6-10? I want to say, like,
yeah,
there's still a transition period in that. Like, you have to build your team. Like, we're still cap. I know, and looking at our cap, we're still hamstrung by the previous years and our inability to do certain things because there holds weight because of, you know, from COVID and moving guys' caps down the line that gives us less latitude. Like, that is all fact. That is all reality. And like, it's just funny when people don't want to accept it or then their emotion gets into it. And it's like, now they're mad about it. It's like, I didn't do any of this. That's just what's out there.
Well, you know, so
I'm not in the front office. That is them. Like I got, like, I come in and I play left tackle and I make sure I take care of my stuff as best of my ability every day. That is all. This is the most coach speak I probably will use that I agree with. Control what you can control. That's it. I'm not going to try and do what I can.
Hit him in the mouth. Want it more than they do.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and so, yeah, the It's happened twice in NFL history. In this case, three decades of uninterrupted first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback play. I think the fans who kind of have this presumption that, well, it'll just happen now again with Jordan, A, not fair to Jordan, B, I would argue it's probably a little bit of an ask for it to happen a third time in NFL history, but one franchise just go from A to B to C on that level. But, you know, I'm excited to see what Jordan does, and maybe, you know, maybe it will. You know, the other thing is just that all those years, I felt strongly that the Packers were not going after it the way I would have hoped in terms of player acquisition. And part of that was being on the free agency show every year, and we want action and all that. Part of it's human nature, but part of it was talking to plenty of people that you know well and I know well who were like, yeah. And I remember when Aaron wanted Marshawn in 2010 and they had an issue with the running backs not really stepping up. They didn't do it. The Seahawks got him for cheap. Now, James Stark stepped up in the playoffs and they won a Super Bowl. But I used to rail against the Packer philosophy in that, look, dude, I could draft and develop and stay passive if I have Aaron Rodgers covering up all weaknesses at all times and making me look awesome. But I want to, you know, I want to be killers. We have Aaron Rodgers. Go get everyone and be, you can't get everyone, but you can be a little more proactive and aggressive. And I used to fight that battle over and over. There have been times where they went out and were more aggressive. A lot of times they haven't. Yeah. I guess I would just ask it this way. Do you worry that a window has been missed now that we're on the verge of a transition?
I mean, like, it's so like, can I go back in time, change things? I mean, due to how history's played out. Yeah. But that's also like, you know, hindsight's 2020. Like I'm not
sure.
That's such a tough thing to ask. And like, again, like I totally respect and understand people's philosophies. Cause I'm going to say, man, you know, there's a reason why you're not a GM. Like, you want to make all these good
a few reasons.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why you're not in that position. And for them, like, I think if I had to put on my GM cap, it's like a certain. I think that's been like a Packer philosophy that's been instilled since like the Ron Wolf era.
Yeah,
that was. And again, there's like core values that, you know, you grow and learn and understand that I know Goody was a part of, and there's because he's definitely been different than Ted, and definitely more around, like, and the ability to like converse them has been awesome. I think, and this is no slight on Ted. I thought Ted was amazing. Ted was great for me. Ted drafted me. But again, Ted had his ways, and his ways was a lot more on the, more of like a hermit. Like he was just kind of over, you wouldn't see much of him. And when you did, there wasn't much of a conversation to be had. With Goody, you do see more of him. Conversations are to be had. I think he's more of an extrovert compared to Ted, but I think, you know, there's some core values that they have that they're instilled, that's just kind of like the hills that they'll die on how they operate. Just like I see other teams that operate heavily in free agency, like they're primarily free agency, and you see constant, like they only have a few draft picks and they come and go. Like you see certain teams that are constantly throwing draft picks left and right, and, you know, even saying quote unquote like F them picks, like
F them picks.
That's, and again, I don't know which is better. I think things are cyclical. I think there's times where playing in free agency is better, obviously, because there's probably a talent to be had there and not in the draft. That's obviously hindsight. And there's other times where you might get a good stretch on draft picks where there's a plethora of players coming out of college and it's better to draft and develop them because you get them for cheaper. You help build more of your core team. And at the end of the day, if you have a bunch of really good players, it's probably better than having a few great players. Like it's one thing I've seen, because this is a team sport. It's 11 players on offense, 11 players on defense. It's a lot of guys on the field. And, you know, even from my experience, I never really had a chance to win a Super Bowl, but we had, you know, like I said, the best quarterback to ever play the game up to this date. And that's one guy. And still, I never got the opportunity to play in the Super Bowl. That's no slight on my quarterback, but that just shows like, you can only do so much. You need the other pieces to fall where they may, whether that's pieces on the offense, pieces on the defense, pieces on the special teams, pieces, you know, from coaches. Like, I don't know. I don't know that that said recipe. So I think that's that I'll, there's so many, it's so dynamic and there's so many different pieces and properties, but to go back to what you're saying, like, did we miss a window? That's a, if hindsight going back in time question, you know, I think any person would 100% say, just like you had brought up, of course you'd take Marshawn Lynch at a discount. You know, who knows what the next trade that happened. Like, of course I would have traded that pick because that pick was ended up being such and such. Sure. Like the Raiders or something like that, who they traded, like Khalil Mack for, and who they got in the first rounders. Like most of them are not even on the team. Like that right there, hindsight would tell you, like, you probably want to keep Khalil Mack.
And I think, you know, when I used to, again, because part of it is just programming. I remember on TV, I'd be like, I catch myself. I'm always cheering on the teams that did something because it gave me something to talk about. Now, I did do the gag where I was Ted Thompson doing a crossword puzzle every year. And one thing is, I will beat a gag into submission. I will, you know, I will stay with it over and over. And I also, my sons, you know, were huge Packer fans growing up and still are. My sons growing up were and still are Packer fans. It was a Cal Aaron thing, and you know, they met Aaron when they were little, and you know, so I would, you know, and you know, fans are the harshest critics, so I would always hear from them, oh my god, you know, we got to go get some people. So
the ultimate hindsight 2020.
There you go. So, I mean, well, okay, so you are part of a team and it is a business, and you are back from your injury struggles. I believe at one point you missed 22 out of 23 games, then you came back and your appendix almost burst. I'm sure it's been an enjoyable run there. And now I see that you know, they did the contract restructure to free up cap space, so people like me will be happy so they could do more. And then I saw, okay, his cap number is $40 million. Next season, they could cut him and get out of $21.5 million cap dollars next year. So people are already talking about you not being on the team in 24. And then after you said they, people are kind of like, well, maybe he's trying to get traded to the Jets or he's part of that. How do you view all of that and your foreseeable future in Green Bay?
One, just noise. I mean, again, I love hearing the perspectives. I think they're very fun, very entertaining. At the end of the day, it's like genuinely how I feel, genuinely how the Packers feel. And how, I mean, obviously Goody's the one who's making the team, where I fit, and at what price point and at what cap hit. I think, you know, again, now playing the business side of it. So buckle up, people who are still holding their emotions for this part. The fourth year of most deals are always up in the air. They're usually never really guaranteed. It's pretty much, if you sign a 3-year deal, it's pretty much the first 2 years or year and a half. If you sign a 4-year deal, it's usually 2.5 to 3 years. If you sign a 5-year deal, it's probably usually 3.5 to 4 years. And that fifth year is pretty much up in the air. And by the restructures that we've done collectively, the Packers and I, we've pretty much put ourselves in a predicament where it's going to be either cutting me or extending me. So that's going to be mutually decided upon, not today, not sometime in the near future. I think it's going to come down to, and if I had to guess, as we play throughout the season, again, where I fit moving forward. And then also on my end, like where I want to be in my career, my life moving forward. So those are the two. Again, I'm not alluding to anything. Those are just purely the facts about what can be had on both sides, and then let it all play out. Again, there could be a curveball of like a trade. I have no idea when it comes to that. That's kind of above my pay grade of understanding. I've been around the block long enough to know, I know for pretty darn certain it's going to be, they're either cutting me after this year or they're going to be extending me, because there's no way I'm living on that cap hit. And if they end up throwing option three, I mean, I would be shocked, and I'd be sitting here and be like, I was wrong. I have no problem admitting that I was wrong, but that's how I look at the situation moving forward in next year. You tell me if that's a fair assessment.
I think so, unless, you know, I guess you could decide to retire too, which if I'm a player, I'm thinking about that at the end of every season anyway. And I don't think people understand that when I just think even as a journalist, going through an NFL season can be so consuming and insane. And for a player physically, I can't even imagine. So I think a lot of players are like, let me get through this season, get to a beach, be with the people I love, and then, you know, take a breath.
Yeah, so I think that's a very fair thing to say and very in tune emotionally with how players do think. I think the older I've gotten, the more I think and this isn't alluding to me retiring, but the older I've gotten, the more I've definitely thought of the idea of retiring. But I mean, right now, based on how I feel, like I want to play longer definitely than I did last year right now. And I want to play longer than I definitely did 2 years ago. I think like a big injury definitely kind of scares you, but you know, once you kind of get out of the weeds and kind of see, I'm like, oh, you know, still feel pretty good. I still got to let the young bucks and we're kind of working out with them. I'm like, oh, that's it. That's all I can do. I still got this. I still feel young at heart until they start calling me like OG or like I start talking about players' names and they kind of have no idea. There's old footage and I'm like, yeah, that's me. It's crazy for me to think that I'm like the old head walking around the building because I still feel very youthful, still have a lot of fun. And then obviously, you know, the left knee really was the big thing. Other than that, I mean, I'm still the kind of the young having fun and I enjoy the days. I enjoy that kind of the grind still. So until I stop enjoying that, that's where for me, that's where that'll really start seeping in.
Well, one of your buddies is older, football wise and about to be traded and has a high cap number. So there's my segue. You know, I think you said what I believe, which is it's going to get done with the Jets, we think, although you did broach that interesting scenario about the Packers squatting on him.
I'm assuming that's the leverage that they have. I'm assuming, yeah. Again, sure. I use the word they. Keep noticing how I say they. Okay, I'm not the one negotiating with this, but I'm assuming.
Hey,
correct me if I'm wrong. Is there any other type of leverage that I'm not seeing that I'm assuming that they're like from their posturing? Because for me, that's what I'm assuming why they're kind of still where they are. Because if it wasn't, and if they were to say that pretty much the Packers have no leverage, this deal would have been done quite a while ago because they would pretty much take whatever they can get. But I'm assuming their leverage.
And there's a cap trick that I think would level it out too. But yeah, and I think the Jets leverage, because I know I've talked to all these humans, humans, but the Jets leverage is, hey man, he already knows Hackett's offense and he doesn't really like OTAs anyway, so we're not that stressed about it. But that's I specifically wanted to ask you that because you've had Hackett, you've changed offenses when LaFleur and Hackett came, you know Aaron, and what is the real trigger point in terms of when Aaron would get stressed about it getting done, just knowing that he knows that offense, but he doesn't know his new teammates, but there's nothing to stop him from working out with them on their own. Is Aaron going to be able to just slip right into that system with his knowledge of Hackett and his offense later if it comes down to it?
Yeah, I think answering that, what you said, which was, can he slip in the offense? He knows it inside and out, no problem at all. He has a great relationship with Hackett. So yeah, I don't think Aaron's pretty much sweating and probably even thinking about that being an issue at all. It's like me going to, I'm assuming like going to playing for the Rams and like McVay and Matt have the same offense, I would assume. Yeah. And what I've talked to for certain players, like most of the same terminology. So there's not much of an issue at all for me moving over that. So I would say nothing at all would kind of really bother with that. And I'm also with him, you know, he doesn't really enjoy OTAs at this point in his career. Again, I'm speaking for him, so I can't wait for him to yell at me, telling me, don't talk for me. You don't know how I think. I'm like, okay, buddy. Sure.
I've been there. I've been there.
Yeah, it's so fun. But I mean, yeah, would I rather be in my home with my family and friends or, you know, go, like I said, do phase one of daddy daycare where pretty much you just have to have someone chaperone and watch you doing what you already have been doing.
I love that. So if I'm Aaron and I want to force the issue, and I don't know how badly he does, as we just said, but if I did, I would show back up at daddy daycare or whatever, I would immediately go to the weight room and I'd be like, hey, I want to try something new. Can you put like Bakhtiari sized weights on each of these, I don't know, weightlifting terminology. Yeah, squat rack. And I'm just going to go for it. And they'd be like, because it's one thing we're going to sit on his contract and make you bleed. But if he were to, you know, hurt his back doing that, then you're throwing a lot of cap dollars and real dollars into a hole. So I don't know if he would do that or if it would come to that. I feel like it won't.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the ultimate pettiness. I haven't even thought about that yet. I did think about it. It would be really funny if he did show up because, you know, I'm assuming this is now, again, it's an assumption. I'm assuming he's still on the team. So I think that would be hilarious. But I don't think that's part of it. I don't think that's his nature at all. But I would get a good laugh out of that for sure. We're in April right now. Like,
yeah.
Football's so far away. So I love the seriousness of like day one reporting and all the news around the NFL. Cause the NFL pretty much is 365 and everyone, you know, I love it too. Like, football is amazing. It's given me a lot and I absolutely love playing the game. I just think it's so funny. Like right now, I'm like, God, football's so far away. It's we got time.
And people lose the voluntary side of it. I mean, I remember when I was at SI one off season, I was doing a big Edgerrin James feature and he and I were pretty close and he goes, come to Miami, and it was Memorial Day weekend, I think. And I think he'd stopped drinking because it was Memorial Day, or maybe that was his last weekend where he would drink before the season, but he just would stay up all night bowling and gambling. I mean, he was nuts. So I was young and we went hard and he tried to get me to go to Cancun afterwards. And I literally, like, talk about an Irish goodbye. He goes, it's like 3 a.m. He goes, be at the airport by 6. We're going to Cancun. I was like, sweet. Let me go get my passport, and just went right to the airport and flew back to California. I was like, nope. Trying to stay married. And so anyway, so I write this long Edgerrin James story. Well, it turned out the weekend we'd spent together was a voluntary mini camp in Indy, and he of course was with me. And so when, by the time the story was getting ready to run, it had become a controversy because Bill Polian, then the GM, future Hall of Fame GM, and Peyton Manning, the quarterback, had both ripped him publicly. Which is odd, right? You know, a quarterback ripping a player for missing a minicamp, and Bill Polian, he's kind of a grump, so not surprising. But my editor called me and said, before we run this, you got to call Edgerrin and get a quote about him missing this minicamp. And I go, okay. So I called him up. I told him what was up. Long pause. And then EJ goes, man, I only went to college for 2.5 years, and even I know the meaning of the word voluntary. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm right. I mean, so anyway,
I think that's his offseason. That's what he wants to do. I mean, fine. Again, we have to own our reality and own also our decision-making. Like, if he's doing that, and as long as he's taking care of it, that was just his week off, and he's taking care of his business, and he comes and plays good football, there shouldn't be an issue at all. It's his off season to do what he feels is needed to put him in the best frame of mind and physically for the season, which I think is totally fine.
And now he says, from gold teeth to gold jacket, it worked out for him. So there we go.
That's what I'm talking about.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, so last year, back in late February, early March, there was a lot of intrigue about Aaron Rodgers' future. And it was super charged in, talk about the NFL news cycle. Is he going to retire? Is he going to keep playing? Is he going to try to go to Denver where Hackett is? Is he going to try to go to San Francisco? You know, so many scenarios about what Aaron might do. And as it was all playing out, I was at the Combine. You know, I kind of was vaguely aware that you were getting ready to get married, which is amazing. And that at this wedding, a lot of the people who were very, very interested in this would be there. The Combine, I don't know if you've ever been other than as a player, but it's a shit show. It's spring break for coaches and talent evaluators. There are media there. We go all night, a lot of drinking, a lot of disjointed conversations.
Nobody's mad about that. I actually am all for that.
Right.
Let guys have fun.
Right.
Like whatever.
And so, and you know, a lot of stuff being talked, but whatever. And so one of the conversations I had at the Combine, somehow talked, it was someone who was going to your wedding and said, oh yeah, and I'm going to David's wedding and Aaron's going to officiate it. And I was just, I kind of like forgot. It was just one of those like, oh, cool. And then as I was leaving Indy, I ended up in the same airport connecting with somebody else who was also aware, I think, of the wedding and also said to me, oh, yeah, and Aaron's officiating it. This is when it was like, I think day of, it must have been the day I was flying back. So I was like kind of, you know, hungover from days of it. And I tried to send a tweet, and I have it written down. I'm going to read it. But I tried to send a tweet that basically was kind of like, this is really awkward and weird. This is how the NFL is. And it's going to, this shows you how much is on the line with Aaron. I did not know that there was any, nobody had said to me, it's a secret that Aaron is officiating it. So that was my first disadvantage. And then my second disadvantage is it's just probably not a good idea to get into anyone else's most important day of their life and all that in retrospect. So what I tweeted was, today Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari is getting married in California. So again, at least I didn't say the location, but Aaron Rodgers is set to officiate it. Matt LaFleur will be there. Rodgers is likely to tell the Packers what he wants to do by Tuesday afternoon. Timing is kind of wild. And, you know, my Twitter's a shit show. People started kind of banging on me. And I was like, okay, typical fans who don't understand that, like, David and I are friends and I'm not, like, you know, doing anything. Like, they're like, oh, come on, it's his wedding. And I kind of blew it off. And I fell asleep on the plane. And I woke up and I kind of saw some more of them. And I'm like, haha. And then I started tracing one of them back. And it was a tweet from you saying, Mike, what the actual fuck? And I mean, I want to hear your version, because for me, I was like, I was just truly mortified. And my first thought is, this guy is about to get married and I just fucked up his wedding day. And that cannot be a good thing. So I want to hear you take me through this.
Yeah, I just remember as we're getting ready, I believe we were like in a... I was all with my groomsmen, we're getting ready. And I think someone, like one of my friends, like told me that like a reporter found out and kind of like you had sent that. And then a lot of more information started coming out. And I was kind of trying to keep it like, hey, last thing I need, and especially in California, which is like TMZ Central, is having everything blow up. So that's where I was getting mad at.
Sure.
The second thing was, this better not fuck up how my wife's going to look at this wedding, because I want her, this is supposed to be the most magical day for her.
100%. 100%.
Mike is the reason why he fucked this up. I'm going to be so pissed at him. So
yes.
And then the other part, I'm like, it's kind of funny to have a little gag. Let me make him sweat a little bit. I mean, like, I was assuming most things are going to be fine. I just didn't, like, my biggest thing was TMZ, but I'm like, I think it might be pretty good. So then I remember just like, oh, I'll just go on with everyone. Just like, because I was getting tagged in it with you when you sent it, because everyone's like freaking out. I'm like, ah, fuck it, I'll throw a little one. So I remember asking you with that, and then I kind of like pulled your goat a little bit when we talked on the phone and just wanted to get information. And then you shed it like light to me on how your side of the profession works. And I appreciated that, and I still hold that to this day. But that's about it. So not as serious, I guess, as like I tweeted it out. I'm kind of more of a sarcastic, funnier guy. At heart, at least to myself. And it all ended up working out really well. I think some person ended up snagging like a photo of Aaron and like the ceremony, but for the most part it didn't disrupt. We had a great time, so you can sleep easy now.
Okay, good. So to continue on my end, I immediately texted you. You did text back, which I just hated. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's getting married. He's fucking having to text me. Like, I just hated it. But I also was freaking, like, mostly because what you said, like, I don't want your wife, I don't want anyone having to deal with this. And you, I just remember at one point you're like, call me right now. And I was on a plane. I'm like, luckily it was landing soon, but I'm like, dude, I'm dying. I'm like, actually I can't. So I get off the plane in Sacramento. I'm like trying to get to an Uber, and I'm just like, fuck, I gotta call him. I think you called me in the Uber, and I'm like, I don't want to do this in an Uber. But, and then, yeah, you were very, like, you were great. And I just, you know, I could hear in your voice that it didn't necessarily ruin your wedding day. And I just kept being like, dude, go get married. I'm sorry. And
I was calling, you know, I was definitely pulling on your go. It was fun for me, and everything did work out. I just,
again, I think I was like smoking a cigar with my roomsman hanging out. And I was like, because part of me, I did actually kind of went, I'm like, how the hell did like this get out? Like that was like my main thing. And then,
what you told me is that, which I didn't realize, you're like, how the hell did you know Aaron's officiating it? And again, like no one, if someone had said to me like, dude, it's kind of a secret, but Aaron's officiating, like, of course I'm not blowing, like, I'm not a, it's spoiler alert, it's your wedding, whatever. But I felt like, okay, the world thinks David's going to kill me, which that's fine. But like, I don't think David's actually going to kill me. And more important, I don't think it, you know, you're like, the boys and I are laughing, it's cool. So I'm like, okay, I think that's going to be okay. But okay, so that's a great prelude. Did you see the Darren Waller wedding stuff photos that came out of this year's combine? Because this is unbelievable. Okay, so
I always saw photos of his wedding. I don't know if any drama that came from.
Okay, so you're gonna love this because I'm an adaptive person and I've actually learned. So this year at the combine, I'm having dinner with a coach who is close to Darren Waller, no longer coaches him, and he brings up twice to me, yeah, and I got to leave the combine early because I'm going to Darren Waller's wedding. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And I wasn't even really curious about it. He married Kelsey Plum, who's like one of the great athletes in America. So that in and of itself excites me. But again, as a human, as a journalist, I'm now like, I'm not in the wedding business anymore. I already fucked up David's wedding potentially. So all my instincts were, never say a word about this, but it's cool to know. And that someone else, I think he brought it up again when I saw him at a bar, but like I totally knew and totally was like, I'm not messing with it. So check out what happened. Josh McDaniels in his media briefing has a breakout session with the Raider writers and ends up saying something about Darren getting married, although I don't think he was going. One of the writers puts it out. I think the Las Vegas paper writes it up like, hey, Darren and Kelsey Plum are getting married this weekend. And they didn't want anyone even knowing it was happening, period, I guess.
I think that's the main thing, is the people that would come and like disrupt the day, because it's
that. Yes.
I would say that's probably the only thing that, like, that I was like focused on. Once I realized like that from an event perspective that it wasn't going to be like tainted at all, I'm like, okay, cool. But that I can definitely say, and I'm glad, hey, I can be the help for your learning experience. And that's about the personal side. It's like, all right, like, you know, the story's worth it, but like, this is also like their day. Like,
yes. You saved me, because here's the best part. Then there was talk. So Darren gets traded like pretty quick after that, which kind of sucks because Kelsey plays in Vegas. And there was some talk that some of the, you know, tension between Darren and the team, or Darren and Josh, is that Darren was pissed, and probably Kelsey was pissed, that Josh leaked, probably inadvertently, the news of their wedding. But yeah, there's this one tweet I saw from Kelsey that said like, yeah, probably because he wasn't invited. And I'm like, ooh, like, at least I didn't get that one.
That's spicy. That is spicy.
All right. So we've left that dark day behind. You are now happily married. You are a father.
I am.
Which is the best. And so that's all awesome. I'll tell one more story about me, since it's obviously my favorite topic is to talk about myself, but it does relate to you. So back in 2001, I'd been hearing, so I have a brother-in-law who teaches at Sarah High School, and I'd been hearing for years.
Shark Goyer.
There you go. So I've been hearing for years about Tommy Brady. This guy's really, oh, he's a good player. Oh, he's played at Michigan, kind of. Not really starting, but he's playing. Oh, he's at the NFL. He's a fourth stringer. And I was kind of like, Mark Goyer is a teacher at Sarah in San Mateo, married to my, or no, I'm married to his sister. And which kind of gives me the upper hand, I feel like, in conversations. and so he would always tell me, but, and I was like, yeah. And then all of a sudden I'm in Foxborough. They're getting ready to play in the AFC Championship game in 2001. And I'm like, hey, Mark, can you like tell Tom, like, you know, I need him. So I'll never forget telling Tom, who was very young, hey, I'm Mike Silver, Sports Illustrated, and my brother-in-law is one of your former teachers. And he goes, which one? I go, Mark Goyer. And he looks at me and he goes, Mr. Goyer is a great man.
He is.
And I'm like, okay, that seems a little thick to me. Like, he was young. It's like, Mr. Goyer. So now fast forward about, I don't know, 12, 13 years later, I come up to you in the locker room at Lambeau, and I tell you, hey, Mark Goyer is my brother-in-law. You just go, Mark the Shark?
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know the nickname, so that actually was a great moment for me.
Yeah, no, Mark Goyer, big fan of him. He still is an amazing teacher. I had so much fun in his classes. He made learning fun. He made, like, when I think about those formative years and being in his class, there's only good memories. So that's a good sign. That means you taught the right way.
He wasn't into corporal punishment, like paddling people.
No, he made learning fun. And then, you know, when it's time to be serious, we're going to be serious. But then when it's time to have fun, you know, we're going to have fun. He kept the vibes high. That's for all the trendy kids, letting them understand what I'm saying. But no, he's awesome. And I got a lot of respect for him. I love that, that connection. And that's kind of how we kind of spurred kind of our relationship when you told me that.
Is it true that you, part of your strength training as a senior was to lift him and carry him around the classroom?
Maybe in his memory now, no, but did I ever pick him up in class? I don't remember, but I wouldn't put it past myself given how I was as a kid and that happening. Now, it might have just been something that I didn't think anything of much, but maybe he was like, wow, I have this kid who's carrying me right now in class. And then now he's in the NFL. So obviously he didn't remember it better than me, but I wouldn't put it past myself when I was in high school.
By the way, when I texted you the other day from Nashville, I neglected to mention that my wife and I were there with Mark the Shark and his wife, my sister-in-law, on a two-night, bender, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to tell you, man, like, so I did a book with Rodman. I've been trying to drink with big people like you unsuccessfully for decades. I always make the same dumbass mistake. Like, oh, I'll go beer for beer with David.
Can you go beer for beer with Mark, though?
And he is not bigger than me, but he's like, it's the same problem as like trying to drink with like, you know, Joe Thomas. Like Mark he's a freak of nature, dude. He put me down. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I learned about that once I was in college. So once he actually showed me that side of him too, I'm like, dude, this guy, I was saying, Mark's amazing. Big fan.
Okay. So there you go. Yeah. I was at various lower Broadway establishments. Just, you know,
did you guys go to 12:30 Supper Club at all on Broadway?
Yeah. We had dinner there the first night.
That's like one of my, I don't really enjoy like going out like I used to, but that's like a very tasteful live music, beautiful scene going upstairs. Like, and their food is really good too. So I was a big fan and their cocktails are awesome.
Yeah, we did all of that. We did all of those things and then ended up at Tootsie's and the stage.
Yeah. Then you have just getting the more dressed down, just have some fun.
Yeah, it was his
let loose.
It was his first time there ever. So he had to, you know, we had to do all the things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Perfect. No, it was good. I love it out there. I'm a big fan.
Before you go, one thing I want to ask is you're a proud Buffalo, University of Colorado, proud alum. You were pretty vocal when a guy that I worked with and covered, Deion Sanders, got the head coaching job. And I know you're into it. Tell me what it's like to be a Buffalo right now.
A lot of energy. And I really think, and this is no disrespect to the coach before him, because I thought, you know, Coach Terrell was awesome. I love anyone that comes from an NFL branch back down to college because they more times than not, I do know what they're talking about. And he is a respected coach in the NFL. I think anyone who's followed the Buffaloes, they just know like it, they had been so stale for so long and needed that injection of just kind of the pizzazz, the fame, the clout, and the attitude. And again, all this is great, but they're still tied with everyone else in the Pac-12. No one's done anything yet. But so far, the momentum that's building, the roster on paper that's showing, is exciting, especially for a, from a fan's perspective. And it's even more exciting seeing, you know, the university reaching out and wanting to put more things together, wanting to build more of the outreach of alumni. I will say, like, I hadn't noticed that in my past. That really wasn't there. And to put an emphasis on it and to understand how strong your alumni are, especially the ones that do make it out and into the NFL, it can be big. I remember hearing stories, my buddies going back to Ohio State and hearing like how they treat them. I'm like, man, I remember because I didn't have the right credential. Like this is like in 2016, 2017. I wasn't even allowed in a certain portion during a football game. I'm like, and I'm not going to go over there and be like, you know who I am. I'm just gonna be like, okay. Like, if this is how it is, it's just crazy. They roll red carpets for a couple of my buddies that play on the offensive line for Ohio State. So I'm excited to see how everything looks. I'm excited to see how he, you know, meet Deion. I've been a fan of him since he played. I think these younger kids know him as, you know, Coach Prime. But, you know, I think all of us remember him high-stepping and all the picks and the swagger. I mean, he was a dog. Most quarterbacks today that you hear that are talked about, they're literally the makeup or their profile is based off of what his standard and what he set, from the bandanas to everything. Like, he was a stud. So from the little football fan in me, I'm going to be very excited to meet him. It's been someone that I would love to meet, and then just kind of see the guys, see the players. Of course, my respect to the offensive line. I can't wait to go meet the players there and kind of give them any little bit that I can and really just kind of see the university. I haven't really been back. Last time I was there is pretty much when I met my wife, and then I haven't been back since.
Is your wife coming or is this a boys trip?
No, she can't. She's actually got a girls trip. So she's got a bachelorette in Nashville. So she's going to have that fun time.
That sounds wholesome. That sounds super wholesome.
Yeah. So no, things are going really well. And again, my college roommate, he's going to be flying out as well. So me and Daniel, we got to get to hang out again and kind of get to go to the old stomping ground. So it's going to be a good time. I'm excited to kind of see a couple of the people I know that are still working at the university when I was there, and obviously meet the new faces, see the new facilities, you know, probably be like, back in my day, you know, we couldn't even get a breakfast. That was considered an extra benefit. You know, we had to have a bagel, no cream cheese.
It's
crazy. It's absolutely insane that if I were to tell some of these kids the stories of what even I had, they would have no concept or frame. They'd be like, that's impossible. And then I'm saying this on my high horse compared to the people back in the 90s on if I were to talk to Mason Crosby about, you know, what I got in college, he goes, you got that?
Yeah, right. I'll never forget in the 80s when I got to Cal, you know, there were no football dorms. So I had football players living across from me and they're like, come on, we're going to go buy your books. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, yeah, we get a book allowance and we have no money. We're like dirt poor. And, you know, we're from Texas. So are the only way we could like afford to buy food ever is if we buy your books with our book allowance and you just give us the money. And I'm like, oh yeah, of course. Like, cool. But like, what a system, you know? Yeah. One guy blew out his knee and it's great. It's just, it's a great deal.
I don't think you know this story. I want to tell you. So coming out of high school, I drove for an unofficial visit to Cal, watched their entire practice back when Alex Mack was a senior. And I remember
Tedford years.
I drove to their doorstep, watched their practice. I think there was like one or two, maybe two or three other guys that might've been there and pretty much got ignored the entire time. At the very end, the guy just handed me a card and was like, hey, you know, we'll see how you do. Good luck on your senior season. And like, we'll stay in contact with you. And I went out of my own way. I was just would have loved for any sort of attention. So fast forward, obviously that never transpired. I never ended up going to Cal, which probably again, this is hindsight, but there's a very high chance that I would have went to Cal because I only had like four offers. It was pretty much between Colorado and Utah were my final two.
That's killed me.
If you throw in Cal, I'm like, well, school was super important to me. Education and then also football. And then also, you know, being a native, like, and then my like little connection I have with Cal through my family that went to school there. So it's just funny. And then I remember seeing that coach a couple of years later and he goes, the worst decision we ever made was to let you leave the university. I'm like, and I sat there after they just beat us. They beat the piss out of us at our, on our home turf. And, but I was sitting there, I'm like, that kind of made me feel good. And it kind of sparked the whole, like, I think I am actually a pretty good football player. Cause again, I was on the terrible teams in college. So that kind of like, I'm this guy's kind of validating what I'm kind of seeing, but I'm not, you know, I've never been the over boisterous, you know, I'm not the Dion of personalities when it comes to my play. And I don't think offensive linemen, you don't really see too many of those.
One of my favorite, I have a lot of friends who went to see you, but one of my favorites, we're going to have him on open mic probably very, very soon. Eric Bieniemy, who recently switched jobs because apparently the rules that normally would apply for someone in his position following Doug Peterson, Matt Nagy, and in that role have not applied to him. And now
I don't get that. I don't know if is that just headline news stuff or is that like real? Is he really not getting any head coaching?
He's had a lot of interviews, but no one's done it. And so now the idea, I think, for him and for, you know, I know Ron Rivera was selling him on this, but the idea was, look, you're in Andy's shadow, so let's bring you out and let you run an offense for a different head coach, and in this case, a defensive guy, Ron Rivera. Mind,
so now the offense really shows from...
Which Doug Peterson didn't have to do, and Matt Nagy didn't have to do, and they got head coaching jobs, so
again, once you get the information, that doesn't look good.
Right.
I got all the, like, I'm EB was one, he was my offensive coordinator back in college.
That's why. So you tell me, he's had such a cool career. I covered him as a player and, you know, I really enjoy talking football with him. What kind of guy is he and how would you expect him to be as an NFL head coach?
He's a man's man. He's a leader of men. And again, this is not me trying to like sell and jump in on any sort of like trend and fun stuff. This is just real talk. That dude is a fucking dude. He is a man. He will walk up to whoever, whenever and curse. And sorry for the language. You can believe me. He'll curse you the fuck out. He don't care who you are. It is about what is right. And that's what I love so much about him. And like, there was guys who ran away from him and there's guys who ran towards him. And the guys who ran towards him were the strong. And the guys who ran away from him were the weak. And he's a no bullshit. He's just going to call it out. If it's right and it's rational and it's just, he's going to give you that. And if it's not, he's going to tell, and you're going to know why too. But that actually kind of baffles me. Like I thought there was a different reason and I haven't really looked too much into it. I just thought he kind of wanted to keep winning Super Bowls, you know, being in his spot. And then when I saw that switch, I'm like, well, I guess, I don't know. There was one head coaching job. Maybe he just kind of got bored and wanted to start a new project, but he's awesome. I loved when he coached me and he coaches you hard, but he also rewards you even harder. And I think I was a huge fan of him. I mean, I can't say enough good words.
Okay, good. That's good to hear. And you know, I think he'll have a chance to show some people some cool stuff.
Yeah, I thought Washington. He was already going to get a head coaching job already. So the fact that he has, I'm like, could you be mad? Sure. But like, it's inevitable at this point. Like if I'm betting in Vegas, again, here we're using the Vegas odds, I am betting that he's going to be a head coach in the next like 3 years. Like he has to be, he's not like forcibly needs to be, but like he is a head coach, period.
Isn't it weird that like 5 years ago, you saying on a podcast, if I'm betting in Vegas would have been like, oh my God, investigation.
That's just the vernacular I use. It's just an analogy of like,
oh, it's cool now. Now it's fine to say the NFL is
5 years ago. I probably would have said it too. Like, that's just kind of how I thought. Like
5 years ago, they told Tony Romo, if you go to this fantasy football convention that's being held in Vegas, all sorts of horrible ramifications will happen to you. And now they're like, Go Raiders and Caesars. Go Raiders
and
DraftKings. I have 40 more questions for you. I cannot. I've already ruined your wedding. I don't want, so to speak. I don't want to have your wife mad that I took the slot.
You're all okay. Good.
I cannot let you go until we just do a quick lasso. Like, look. So I grew up with someone whose son worked on the first season of Ted Lasso. So even if I wanted to criticize it back then, I couldn't. And I didn't want to, I liked it. I couldn't believe, like, is it a rule on Twitter that you have to love this show? Like, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened.
I think that's a great way to describe it. I don't understand why there's no, like, slander against it. It's just only good. It's like, it's so culty. Like, and I agree. I watch the show. I'm looking forward to seeing the next episode. It's just, it's a good show, period.
Yeah.
It's good. It, like, does it get the job done? It does. But, like, for the way people talk about it and the pub surrounding it and the, like, all this noise, I'm like, am I the only one? Like, I'm looking around, I'm like, it's not that good. And I'm totally different than my brothers. My brother has a Believe sticker on the back of his phone. And he's even like, dude, you're just a hater, blah, blah. I'm like, no, I'm not really, like, you were all watching the same thing, right? Like I said, it's a feel good show. Like, it has great, like, values. And I love kind of like the underlying tones of, like, what Ted is, like, showing and displaying, for, like, what it, you know, about, like, you know, from the mental health side to the, you know, always be authentically yourself to, you know, love thy neighbor no matter what. And okay, you can go on and on with all that, but I'm like, it's a C plus. It's good. It gets the job done, and getting the job done in college is C's. So there you go.
It's like a couple of omelet burners for Donald Penn and the Raiders back in the day.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, it was a little extra more topping you can put in your omelet. I'll give it that. I don't think it's as bad as that, but yeah, I mean, again, it's not, you know, we're not talking about, you know, the 5-star ultimate buffet, anything you can have. And it's, you know, you got, you know, a potential Michelin star talking about, you know, deeming this the best breakfast. Like, no, is that absolutely not?
No, that would be Breaking Bad or something, for Thank example. You. Yeah, Thank right.
You. There are so many, like, I could, yeah. Entourage. That was amazing.
Yeah. Entourage, great show.
No matter what, like, there are so many other shows.
My daughter started a job a while back as an agent's assistant down in at one of the major agencies in LA, and I was trying to prep her for. So of course I, you know, pulled up some Entourage, and literally the first two clips of Lloyd that I showed her. In one, Ari says, Lloyd, I'm going to chop you up like Benihana. I'm like, whoa! And then he made a, you know, beat you over a head with a strap-on joke in the second. I'm like,
I think Ari may be my favorite character. And the dynamic between Ari and Lloyd, like, Lloyd is amazing. Like,
amazing.
Not only the character, but the actor playing him did such a phenomenal job. Like, I just, again, that's amazing. And a good one, I will say this, because I do want this to be on record, which I don't think made it on Bussin, was Fleabag. My wife showed the show.
That made it on. Okay, that did? I just watched it. Yeah.
I hate to admit, I haven't really listened to the whole thing. I kind of, once I had enough people that I care about within my circle that are actually complaining to me, I'm like, okay, what did I actually say? Let me make sure. And I was like, no, I meant everything I did say. And you must have taken the sound clips, or you're freaking out everyone else. Cause if you listen through it, that is all fair, right? Just, but yeah, Fleabag, phenomenal. Like, and I can't even take that.
I've heard.
You should. Yeah, I would totally co-sign it. It's a really good show. The acting's really good. The storyline's good. Like, that, I would put that over Ted Lasso. No problem. Again, now Fleabag season 2, like, let me see it. And if it has a little drop, then it could be, okay, now we could be potentially be in the ballpark of each other. And if they have a bad season 3, I believe they only did the one season. Yeah. But if they have a bad season 3, then I could be like, okay, maybe they're the same.
I ripped Forrest Gump on national TV. I was like, it's the most overrated movie I've ever seen. I don't know if you've seen it. It might be before your time. Oh, I
definitely
have
seen it. And
yeah,
I'm okay. Like, I think kind of your opinion, like, you know, Forrest Gump, like, who can hate Forrest Gump, like, the movie? That's, again, is it like the best movie ever. No, but like, I totally see how people would like be like, take it personal. The fact that you would be like, you didn't like Forrest Gump, or how dare you say it's not.
Which and that always, it always goes well on Twitter. Like someone was like, well, did you at least, you know, you had, everyone cried when Jenny died. I was like, I was so happy when Jenny died. Here's, so I want to read you this. This is the best one. I'll leave you with this. So Trent Crim. Okay. Now this revealing a source.
Oh, I love this part because this must hit home for you from like your profession. You guys,
snitches, I love to hear like how you think. Okay, so snitches get stitches, and also, like, reporters have gone to jail to not reveal a source, and I would go to jail, and let's be honest, I don't think I'd do real well in jail. I mean, I don't feel like that would go well for me, but I would also have to go to jail rather than reveal a source. So Trent Crim decides he's just going to tell Ted Lasso, hey, Nate was my source, and I just wanted to underscore how mad I was that that happened. And I said he should be castrated. Somebody on Twitter said, that's the wrong take. And I said, yeah, you're right, execution. And I got this tweet. Wow. It honestly took me more than a minute to process that you consider an ethics violation to be worthy of the same punishment as murder. You are a talented reporter, and I, parentheses, used to respect you a lot, but you really need to step back on this. Listen, man, calling for the execution of a fictional character, I will die on that hill. I believe Trent Crim should be executed. I'll still watch the show. He's on there. But yeah, I mean, because you know how it is. If like a football player did something that was that like played to a bad stereotype of football players, you'd be very, very, very angry, even if it were fictional.
Blackballed you if you shave points. Like, that's like, I don't even know. Because what goes into it, and to have someone actually do that and then find out, I would.
Yeah, that wouldn't go well in the locker room. I'll just put it like that.
Correct.
And again, for you, you are professional in your profession. You respect it to the highest degree and hold it to that. So yeah, of course. And again, I'm assuming the person probably isn't a journalist, probably isn't in your profession, so doesn't see it as that big of a deal. Now we're talking about apples and oranges. So, you know, I'm sure if you were to go and talk to everyone else in your profession and had that same sentiment, they'd be like, duh. But that's, again, that's why I love, and at the end of the day, that's why I fucking love Twitter, because it's great. Like, I sometimes love just going on there, sending a tweet, and then getting off the rest of the day, and then come back on, just see the chaos and be like, yeah, that's good. And that's healthy. And I think that's great. And like, sometimes it's even like more fun just to like placate and just argue with someone, even though like, is it really charging me? No. But like, seeing them probably actually getting charged, like, that's like the best. I'm like, God. This like, you really, is this really like your, what your day is about? This is fantastic. So I love the open space, the open forum, just to be able to communicate. I think it's been awesome.
Yeah. I could see how for players, like, to be able to directly communicate, it would. Yeah. I mean, I there are times where I've enjoyed it. There are times which we've referenced where it's been less enjoyable.
I don't envy being a journalist at all.
When I thought I ruined your wedding. I got so much joy out of seeing the Kelsey Plum tweet clouding Josh McDaniels. I'm like, that wasn't me this year. It's much better. You are the man. Daddy daycare awaits you soon. You must go back and
I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah. Go to the, is it called the squat bar? The squat bit? Squat rack. There you go. Go abuse that squat rack, and I'll see you when it gets closer to actual football big play.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. And it's good to see you too.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you. Bye.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel.
Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at zerofoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products. It's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.